Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Stand up, raise your heads. So when I make my trips to Grand Forks Air Force Base for military duty, I usually leave right after worship on a Sunday, and I plow right on through to North Dakota in one fell swoop. It takes about 10.5 hours or so. We're talking 10:30, 11 a.m. in the morning and 9-ish at night that I get on station after a couple bathroom breaks. First time I made this trip, it was really dark on base, so I couldn't get a good grasp of my environment. I knew I was in one of the Great Plains states. I knew it was big and open. There wasn't much around me. But, you know, that's most Air Force bases. They're kind of out in the middle of nowhere. So I was exhausted from the trip. I went to bed and didn't think much of it. The next morning, however, as I left the dorm that I was staying in, I saw this pile of sand that looked like it had washed across the sidewalk, and I didn't see any bodies of water near me, and I was a little confused. And I did not notice this the night before when it was dark. And I started making sense of this. I thought, oh, it's construction, or, oh, you know, maybe it was the wind or whatever. But then I started seeing these mounds of sand all over the place, along sidewalks, by the parking lots, by picnic tables and fence lines, under trees, buildings. They were all over the place. And from these mounds of sand, I saw these big, squirrely-looking gopher critters, prairie dogs. I mean, seriously, they were, like, everywhere. Which is probably why the Dakotian residents lovingly refer to them as Dak rats, Dakota rats. They kept their distance from me, but you could hardly find a place on base that hadn't been touched with one of these little mounds, with one of these little buggers poking its head out of it. So I'd walk outside, I'd see one rearing its head from a distant mound, like a little living periscope, calling out to the others around if I got too close. It was kind of like there was one always on guard, like a little scout, a lookout, standing up, holding its head up high, calling out during perceived danger to their fellow mammals. And then all the rest of them poking their heads out in response to the call, ready to respond and band together in a moment's notice. Stand up, raise your head, says the scripture, because your redemption is drawing near. Stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. You know, I think for us as Christians living in the 21st century, our scripture might be calling us to be like those Dak rats, standing up, holding up our heads, being ready. So that's what I want to talk with you all a little bit this morning. Being like the Dak rat. Jesus says there'll be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And on earth, distress among the nations. People will be confused by all this. People will faint out of fear and foreboding. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when this happens, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is in Luke's Gospel. First thing I think we need to know about this scripture is that it comes towards the end of Jesus' life in Luke. The story happens right before we hear about the plot to kill him, his betrayal, his arrest, his trial, his crucifixion, his death. And at this point in Jesus' story, in Luke's gospel, he's told us about a widow who gave her 2 cents in the temple, the widow's mite. We've heard about the disciples who admired these big buildings and the temple in Jerusalem. They were just blown away, you know, what big stones these are. And how Jesus says all this stuff's going to come crashing down and will be destroyed someday. Not one stone will be left. The disciples want to know when. He says, well, you'll know. Comforting, right? Well, now, this week, we hear again in this chapter that everything is going to get a whole lot worse before it gets a whole bit better. Jesus has not only predicted the fall of Jerusalem and the temple, but now he's predicting his death as well. He predicts his return from death. And paradoxically, Jesus says that his people are supposed to stand up, hold their heads up high, when every bone and instinct in their bodies would be telling them otherwise. I mean, you would think if you saw this cloud coming, and there's wars and famine and all this stuff, and, you know, Jesus is showing up in the cloud, the strobe lights are going and all that, fog machine, that you would hide, you'd take cover and you'd run. But he is saying, stand up, hold your head up high, face into it. And then Jesus goes on to talk about fig trees. He talks about how the tree not only is a thing, you know, that symbolizes life and death and resurrection, but he says it's a sign of the times. You know when it's spring because of trees, they get buds. It's a sign of the spring. You know when it's summer, the trees, they fill up with their fruit. The fruit ripens. It's a sign of the summer. He says, you know when it's fall, the leaves start to fall off. And he says here that you can tell something is going to happen. When distress and war and natural disasters and confusion happen, that is the sign, the natural sign, to be on guard so your hearts are not weighed down when the end really does come, when the new beginning comes, so that it doesn't catch you like a trap. So pay attention to the signs, Jesus says, in this arboreal language. You know, I think in a way Jesus is saying, find a way to get your life together to prepare so you're not caught off guard, to be at peace with where you are when it finally does happen. He's not calling each of his followers to be so prepared that every waking detail of their life is painstakingly planned out ahead of time. You know, I would be totally out of luck then. But he is saying, as his followers, that we need to be prepared and on the lookout for when he will break into the world anew. To stand up, keep our heads high. Where might Jesus show up? In whom might he show up? I think he calls us to be like the Dak rat, on the lookout, poking our head up, like a living periscope, looking for him. And at the same time, when Jesus says, stand up, raise your heads, because the redemption is coming near, I think he's saying, when and how and in whom he does show up, you, as my people, are supposed to do the opposite of what we've been told, and actually what we've been programmed to do as human beings. It's a paradox. Let me say more. Renowned teacher and activist Parker Palmer writes in his book, The Promise of Paradox, that the way we respond to contradiction is pivotal to our spiritual lives. Paradox requires both and instead of either or thinking. You know, one dictionary actually defines paradox as a statement a proposition that seems self-contradictory or absurd, but in reality it expresses a possible truth. That's the end of the quote. Keeping space for paradox in our lives is difficult, right? Especially in our country today. Our country is very polarized, often reflecting either-or logic. And much of this comes from the top down. If you're not with us, you're against us. You know, if you're not a Republican, you're a Dem, you know. Support independence get lost somewhere in the middle. But the thing is, the gospel is full of paradox. It really is. And so too is our spiritual life. Example, Jesus is more than an infant born in a manger. He's the Savior who is Christ, the Lord. He is both infant and the Savior. See what I'm saying? Jesus teaches whoever seeks to keep their life must lose it. Whoever loses their life keeps it. What? Both losing life and keeping it. He says to his disciples, do you think I've come to bring peace on earth? Prince of Peace? No, I've come to bring division. You know, I've come with the sword. And then when he returns after his death, he says, peace be to you, to his friends. He brings both peace and division. Jesus is a walking, talking paradox. God and human. Fully God, fully human. His crucifixion leads to death and life. And paradox, therefore, is a huge part of our faith. There's more than meets the eye when it comes to Jesus. And I think that's why when he says, when all these bad things are happening, like the fig tree getting its buds and losing its buds and having fruit form on it and the fruit falling and withering, you know the signs of the times. You know, naturally, bad stuff is happening. It means something's going to hit the fan. But Jesus is saying, when stuff hits the fan, you don't duck and cover. You, as my followers, are to face into it. Stand up, hold your head up high, embrace your inner prairie dog. I'll leave you with this story. You know, I was dropping Elliot off at daycare the other day, and it had snowed the night before. Not a lot of snow, but just enough to make things pretty slick. And as I went up the hill To his daycare, I saw two police cars cordoning off the opposite side of the road, blocking it. There was an accident. A sedan and a truck had collided, and the sedan was totally crumpled up. There's no way somebody got out of this thing without a scratch. I saw this woman drive up to the cordoned off street. She stopped her car, ran over to a bystander who was pacing back and forth off the side of the road with an officer, and she threw her arms around her. You know, I don't know exactly what happened, but the narrative I kind of cooked up in my head in this scene was that this woman who drove up ran into the accident scene. She must have been a family member or a friend. The thing is this. In the midst of the chaos of that accident, in the storm of that life, in the tragedy of it all, this woman stood up, held her head high, ran into it rather than away from it. And as she did, she embraced the other. You know, this time of year, Advent, as we're getting closer to Christmas, it's kind of paradoxical. We wish for peace on earth and goodwill toward all, but right now the world and our country seems anything but. There are things domestically and abroad that would make us want to bury our heads in the sand and hide. But Jesus, I think, calls us to be like those little prairie dogs, on the lookout and prepared and ready, while at the same time standing up and holding our heads high when things aren't right, rather than running away, so we can face into the storms of life together when others are really struggling. When things seem crazy and out of control, or when things don't seem quite right with the world, we are called to be the ones who go against the grain while the rest of the world wants to turn inwardly in the name of self-preservation or self-interest. As we open our hearts and prepare ourselves for the Christ child this Advent, it's my prayer we can stand up and hold our heads up high too, that we can embrace our inner deck rat, our prairie dog, for the world that God loves so much. Amen.